Hi, I'm Gary Nall. Nice to have you with us today. Brand new information every single day, including this from the University of Manchester in the United Kingdom. Do you care about your skin? Of course you do. Billions of dollars are spent each year protecting our skin or enhancing or try to get more moisture into the skin or hold what's in there as we age, keep the skin from thinning. Well, one thing that can help you probably didn't know, was green tea supplements. Yes, they help you when you take oral supplements of green tea. I suggest between 200 to 300 milligrams, and it protects against sunburn and the longer term effects of ultraviolet damage. That's according to a new study. Skin levels of green tea catechins, these are compounds, increase following taking green tea for 12 weeks. And these increased levels were associated with significantly lower levels of inflammatory markers when skin was exposed to ultraviolet radiation. This was published in the British Journal of Nutrition. So, just one more way that we can keep ourselves healthier, keep our skin healthier. And by the way, for all of you runners or people going out to exercise in the hot weather, let's say you're in California, Nevada, Florida, New Mexico, etc., Texas, there's a lot that you can do. For example, you can enhance the health of trapping the free radicals from the radiation from the sun by taking 500 milligrams of vitamin C before you go out for a workout. They only took 50 milligrams of vitamin C, just 50, and it helped them. 500 milligrams, I believe, is much more realistic and much more adequate. But wear clothing, and there's lots of different lines of clothing that block at least 50% of the sun. So therefore, you're far less likely to get the damaging effects of excess sun. And you can always tell, especially in California, I would see, I'm sure you saw those movies of everybody on the beach and nobody really protecting themselves. Look at those people 10 and 20 years later. Their skin is really toughened up. It's ruddy looking, lots of wrinkles, deep lines. That's what happens. So just a way of helping us. Another way of helping us comes from Tufts University. They have a study showing that vitamin D supplements can protect millions from developing type 2 diabetes. Well, we also know that if you watch your diet, if you have healthy kidneys and liver, if you're eating a lot of fiber, quality fiber, drinking plenty of clean water, if nothing else, reverse osmosis water. It's inexpensive, and you'll get your minerals, not from that because they've removed them, but they've removed all the bacteria, parasites, anything that's bad. So reverse osmosis is the best as far as safety. Then where do you get your calcium, magnesium? You'll get it from a healthy diet. In any case, vitamin D is very important to protect yourself against diabetes. Now, recently I had a group of people in my audience who did a study, and we saw how many were deficient in vitamin D. Now, mind you, this is my audience. People, I've been listening for 20, 30, 40 years. And why aren't you adequate in your vitamin D or vitamin C? So even if you pay attention, you still have to actualize. And by actualizing once or twice a year, get a simple, inexpensive profile done of your blood. You go in, they take a sample of the blood, and then you see, do you have enough vitamin K to mineralize your bones? Do you have enough vitamin D, magnesium, calcium, potassium, boron? All of these are important. But vitamin D in particular can help you prevent diabetes. Now, we have a lot of Americans with prediabetes and diabetes, upwards of 90 to 100 million. But according to Tufts Medical Center, taking supplements can lead to a 15% drop in the likelihood of developing the condition among adults and prediabetics. They found that over a three-year follow-up period, new-onset diabetes occurred 22% of adults who received vitamin D compared to 25% among those who took a placebo. That's not a big difference. But here's what they didn't do, but we have. Get people to exercise 10,000 steps or more per day, ideally 20,000 steps, both resistance and aerobic exercise. Get them to have between 30 to 40 grams of quality fiber each day in their diet. Get them also to take chromium picolinate, vitamin C, quercetin, and vitamin D3. That'll make a difference. There's no reason that we can't prevent type 2 diabetes. We can. In the past month or two, I've discussed on many occasions the power of mindful meditation. What it does, it lowers the biomarkers for stress response in anxiety disorders. It can help children with ADHD. It can help adults who have hyperactive behavior, especially those who are wired to caffeine. So taking a 15-minute meditation break in the afternoon can make a big difference. This study was done at Georgetown University Medical Center, a rigorously designed National Institute of Health-sponsored clinical trial led by the medical center, has found objective physiological evidence that mindfulness meditation combats anxiety. Now, let's go back about 7 years. 7 years ago, I did a study with 500 people over a three-month period, June, July, and August, at a church that held 500 people. So that's how many we had. And we had almost no dropouts. To get into the study, everyone had to have been diagnosed, and we had to have a letter from their physician that their therapist, that they were either suffering from clinical depression or clinical anxiety for at least 2 years, but it was longer. Some people had been clinically diagnosed for 7, one guy for 27 years, and almost all were on medications, anti-anxiety or antidepressant medications. On the very first day, we had everyone film. Took about 5 hours, but they would get up and give their name and their age, how long they had been depressed or anxious, what medications they were on, how they felt, and especially if they had a sense of hopelessness or despair or suicide, and a lot had anxiety about suicide. But then when I asked them, did you read the package insert, that one of the top side effects of your anti-anxiety medication was suicidal ideation. They hadn't read it. Their doctor had not explained that to them. With no medical intervention, even though we had a full medical staff there, headed by Dr. Martin Feldman, a board-certified neurologist, we started by doing mindful meditation. We would spend about an hour each week on different techniques, take the whole group through mindful meditation. We suggested that they get themselves some CDs. One of the most popular was flute music, meditative flute music. Then water, rainstorms, rain hitting a tin roof, and they really benefited from that. People who had not been able to sleep because they were anxious or depressed were able to sleep through the night. And then we began to detoxify the body, cleaning up the body. But behind all of this was staying mindful, and we would do exercises. We'd pair people off and say things that would make a person stressed or depressed. Well, words today are being used in a weaponizing way. We don't say something, out of anger or spite or vengeance to someone that is kind and thoughtful. We weaponize. We want to hurt the person with our words. We want them to feel bad about themselves. And this is so wrong. Remember, words are powerful. And some people have grown up believing that how they feel is what's important. And therefore, if you say something that they suddenly cause a trigger reaction where they're thinking, wow, that hurt me. And then someone just keeps piling on. Because it's rare that someone says something that shouldn't be said, and then immediately apologize, saying, hold on a second, I shouldn't have said that. That was very unkind, and you don't deserve that. We can differ. We have different opinions, but let's be realistic. I wouldn't want someone saying that to me, so I'm sure that being on the receiving end of something that I said was hurtful. Can you accept my apology? More often than not, a person will. But just remember, whoever creates that word is doing so with the intent of harm. In mindful meditation, in our exercises, we would take a person, say, now go to a go to a place that's calm. Just the mantra, calm, calm, relax. And then when someone would say something, we would find that it didn't trigger them. We were even taking blood pressure and pulse rates, because your pulse goes up real fast. Let's say you have a resting pulse of 70, and someone says something you don't like, and it goes up to 80. That's not good, because right behind that's high blood pressure. You take anyone who's had an argument, anyone who's in a stressful position, and look at their blood pressure through the roof. That means that they are greater risk of a stroke or a heart attack. In fact, a lot of people are unaware that getting angry and yelling creates micro strokes, tiny little strokes in the brain. Not enough to where you even know you've had a stroke. But on autopsy, they found all these little white specks all over the brain. Didn't know what it was. It's not amyloid plaque, as you would see in dementia or Alzheimer's. No, this is from strokes. And each one of those is bad, because you never know when a little stroke can become a dead stroke. So anyhow, the mindful meditation allowed a person to say, it's okay, it's just words. So if I said, gasoline station, so what? It's a gasoline station. Blue sky, so what? You're ugly. Oh, suddenly, the words mean something. And that's because locked into us for every decade of life are millions of emotional minefields. And by the time you're 40, you probably have over 300 million of these in your subconscious. Now, hopefully you're in good situations, you're balanced, you know you're okay, you like yourself, so you're not going to allow someone to hit the third rail of that subconscious thought to cause you to overreact. In which case, then with mindful meditation and yoga and deep breathing, you can let it go. You know, that mindful meditation is like putting an umbrella over your head in a rainstorm, right? That's the key. So it makes a big difference when you're engaged in mindful meditation and no longer having the same reaction to anxiety-producing situations. And at a time when we need something to de-stress us because we have so many stressors going on, this is the best you can do. So we take a deep breath and we say, okay, we're all going to face problems, but it doesn't mean I have to be a victim to how I react to a problem. If that's a bad situation, I only make it worse by feeling helpless, overreacting, or going crazy. Rockefeller University just found that the neurons in our gut, our intestine, help the immune system keep inflammation in check. What's that mean? I thought we only had neurons in the brain. Not true. The immune system exercises constant vigilance to protect our body from external threats, including what we eat and drink. Put it this way. We can't see salmonella on a salad or botulism in some tomato soup. And yet it could be there. But the moment you eat it, the body recognizes, how does it do this? How does the body know that you just ate a toxin? Because that's how wonderful the body's immune response is. And that's why you get diarrhea, or suddenly mucus pours out, or you're coughing something out, or your temperature goes up. A virus, temperature goes up, the body's trying to destroy the virus. All this is going on without you being aware of it. That's the innate immune system. But the immune system is everywhere. But it's also really strong in your gut. So everything you eat and everything you drink in your lungs, everything you inhale, will either cause it to be fine, no problem, or go on full alert and try to protect you. So the neurons play a role in protecting intestinal tissue from overinflammation. This was published in the peer-reviewed journal Cell, and the findings could help treatment implications for gastrointestinal diseases like irritable bowel syndrome, ileitis, colitis. And so the resistance to infections needs to be coupled with having a healthy diet, lots of probiotic foods and juices, like beet juice, sauerkraut juice, low sodium sauerkraut juice. Cabbage juice is terrific for this because you got neurons up here and you got neurons in here, and they're helping your immune system with keeping your intestine without inflammation. And that's why some people have no problem, especially those who take their time before you eat. Meditating for a few minutes, going to a quiet place, slowing down everything so you're focused upon the smell, the taste, the mouthfeel, and the pleasure of what you're going to consume, even a juice. We just eat too fast. We drink too fast. We don't chew our food properly. We're almost always rushed. We're distracted. You know, have you ever seen someone in a kitchen, you know, eating something that they've just put into a microwave, watching something on television or listening to radio? All distractions. And the more distractions you have, the less focus you have upon what you're doing. One of the techniques that I taught the tens of thousands of runners and walkers who came to our Natural Living Running and Walking Club, which I started in 1975, it's one of the leading running and walking clubs in America, and is we do it differently. That's why we call ourselves Natural Living. We care about not just the training, the hard road work, the cross training. No, we care about our body, our biochemistry, our mind. You can do a lot better at racing and enjoy your workouts more if you're in a mindful place, a relaxed place, a de-stress place in your mind. And so one of the things we do is we practice mindful running, where we say we want to run a 7-minute mile, and without looking, one person starts the stopwatch and we run for a mile, and then he said time hits it. It's exactly 7 minutes. That's because you wake up at a certain time every day. You feel like going to sleep at a certain time, whether you do or not. Your body tells you time for sleep. That's your biological clock. That's part of your circadian rhythm, saying time to go to sleep, time to wake up. Now, when we do things that disrupt that, when we work night shift, that's dangerous to us. When we're around electrical appliances that are throwing off electromagnetic pulses, that's really dangerous for us. And that's become acceptable. 5G, 6G now coming up. All of those Gs, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, all are shown to disrupt the natural chromosomes, the natural DNA in our cells, the mitochondria in our cells. There's causing a wave of environmental pollution. I published over 12 articles on this. Go to GaryNall.com, look under articles, and you'll see a whole bunch on just 5G, 10,000 studies, 10,000 on why it's dangerous. Your cell phones, your computers, etc. Now, I am sitting back from my monitors and cameras here about almost 4-5 feet. I've tested with a meter reader exactly where it is safe. And this is where it's safe for me not to have any of the pulses. Now, everything here is hardwired. That also drops it down. Your real big problem is when it's wireless. Do you ever think you're in a car, you're way out in the desert, and you're having a phone conversation, or the woods, all right? How did that signal? Well, the signal has to emanate, go up to a satellite. Satellite then has to bring it down to you. That takes an enormous amount of power and energy. So not only are you hearing it, but your entire side of your head and jaw and brain and eye is all being impacted with the energy, high-level vibration. And that's been shown to cause brain cancer, jaw cancers, neurological problems, speeding up the aging of the brain. Yeah. Just the other day, I was talking with someone and they had their cell phone right here. This is a person who has a serious breast cancer condition, yet was wearing the cell phone on, right on the tissue, was unaware that that might have been one of the things that caused the breast cancer. So we benefit from the convenience of these devices, but we're not using them safely. You can go online and get yourself some product, and you have to look at the reviews and look at the ratings that are legitimate that can help block or absorb the electromagnetic pulses. There's a screen that you can put over your monitor and your television screen, even your cell phone screen. They can help block that too. Please take advantage of those so that you keep yourself healthy. Another good study out of Italy talks about the effects of vitamin D supplements on COVID-related intensive care hospitalizations and death. Definitive evidence from the meta-analysis, that means many different studies, to show that the results are accurate across many studies. What do I mean? The COVID-19 pandemic represents one of the world's most important challenges for global public health consciousness. Various studies have found an association between severe vitamin D deficiency and COVID-related outcomes, and recent data have suggested a protective role of vitamin D in health issues. And the purpose of this meta-analysis and trial, sequential analysis, was to better explain the strength of the association between how much protection you get from COVID if you're taking vitamin D supplements and the risk of death or the admission to an intensive care unit in patients with COVID. And they looked at different studies. They looked at 78 biographic citations from the peer-reviewed literature, and they found that vitamin D has a substantial benefit to helping you keep alive and not dying if you have COVID. How about that? And also, one of the things we see in older adults is when they get depressed, they rarely come out of it, and it can lead to a premature death. The University of Connecticut has done a study showing that the mitochondria deterioration, that's your energy in your body, deteriorates, is linked to major depression. So, and it's understandable on one level. Look, there was a time when we looked in the mirror and we liked what we saw, all right? Then there was a time we looked in the mirror and we didn't like what we saw. And then there was a time when we didn't even look in the mirror at all because we felt, well, we're too old to get that back. And then we just kind of live with the memories or reminded when we see a photograph or talk with someone. Oh, remember when? Yeah. Remember when we did the first London Marathon and we were all 55 of us running around Hyde Park in the morning in the middle of London and it was like chariots of fire? Yeah. And now a lot of those people are older and almost 40 years ago. Maybe they were 30 at the time, now they're 70. Maybe they forgot why it was important to maintain their protocols for good health. But what happens first is you start losing your energy. And that's because of the mitochondria. We're not feeding the mitochondria. We're not taking things like PQQ, which can create new mitochondria, or NAD, which can help protect our mitochondria and protect the cells, keep the cells younger and vital longer. All important. That's the latest on health and healing. Again, you can go to GaryNall.com for all types of information and films and articles, calls to action. And you can go to PRN.live and look at the wonderful list of hosts that we have, all outstanding in their field and all progressive in their mindset. And we use the term progressive differently. We're not using it as a political ideological moniker. Because a lot of people today in Congress call themselves progressive and they're absolutely regressive. True progressivism seeks the truth without having to align with a particular ideology. So if I want the truth and my belief system doesn't provide it, I'll go outside of my belief system. If something that I've heard or said can be validated as true, then I'm going to focus upon that. We're going to take a break and come right back. Please stay with us. Welcome back, everyone. I'm Gary Nall. I want to give you a couple numbers because we've been so busy with new people coming in from all over the world. And in part, they're coming in because they're reading the very important articles from Global Research, from Trends Journal, from Children's Health Defense Fund, and all these other sites that are carrying the documentaries and the news clips and the commentaries. And that's good. So if you try a number and you can't get through, we've added some new numbers. For example, our archives, where about 95% of people download the show. Let me give you the number. 716-805-6778. 716-805-6778. We have another number if you want to listen live. Monday to Friday, noon to 1, Tuesday, Progressive Commentary. And by the way, if you didn't hear last night's Progressive Commentary, really new, insightful material. So you want to get in on that, download that as well from that number I just gave you. But also, we have a Listen Live number, 641-793-7091, 641-793-7091. That means anywhere in the United States or Canada that you're out and about traveling, vacationing. We have a lot of truckers, cab drivers. You just go to that number and listen. Others are at your computer, and you can watch the program because I'm filming the first part. I'm not filming this part because I'm going to ask you to call in and share your points of view. One other thing. When I started the Progressive Radio Network, I was looking for people who could tell the truth without being affiliated with some ideological or political belief system, because then all you're going to get is that belief system. And I wanted something that goes beyond that. So we have programs on. We're always bringing new programs on. One of the more popular ones is Big Picture Science. And Big Picture Science is every Saturday at 3 p.m. on PRN.live. Now, this past Saturday, for example, it was a good one. The newest Pentagon report on UAPs, or unidentified aerial phenomena. It reflects longstanding public interest about what's in our skies. Now, NASA is investigating for themselves. Should we assume that we cannot identify an alien visitation? In our regular look at critical thinking, we look at the history of UFO sightings and all the other things that are going on, like the 75th anniversary of the crash at Rockwell. The hosts are Paul Hynek, teacher at Pepperdine University, and son of the late astronomer J. Allen Hynek, then Roger Lannis, former chief historian at NASA and former chair of the Division of Space History at the Smithsonian National Air and Space Mission, more than qualified. So I just want to let you know we have a lot of great programs, and I'm going to be doing a new video on all of our hosts, so you're going to get a behind-the-scenes look at them in their home or in their office, at studio, and what their programs are about, some of their great guests. And this is something that the major networks do, but none of the cable systems do. We're doing it. We'll have it ready in about a month, so you'll have a really better understanding of all the hosts. Now, to the issue at hand. A lot of stuff is coming up that we did not know before. We are on it. We're investigating it. And because I am an award-winning investigative journalist with over 300 original stories broken, my career, some very important ones like The Politics of Cancer, first of its kind, with Robert Houston back in early 70s, and a whole lot more after that. We just don't get information. I go in and I investigate. I call. I follow up. I see, is it legitimate? Here's the latest, and we're on this. And I should have some experts and do a whole Progressive Commentary within a week. And I want to thank Steve Brown, one of our supporters and listeners. He was there at the beginning of PRN. And here's the question. Are Fauci, Gates, and Moderna responsible for the COVID pandemic? Did the Department of Defense issue a COVID-19 research contract 3 months before COVID was even known to exist? And Fauci and Moderna had a vaccine ready in December of 2019. You heard me right. The discovery of a contract awarded by the U.S. Department of Defense to Labyrinth Global Health for, quote, COVID-19 research in November 2019 has raised questions about the permanent U.S. government's knowledge of the novel coronavirus. The contract was part of a larger project for, quote, biological threat reduction program in Ukraine, end quote. Mind you, that's before there was any invasion by Russia. That's before we even knew COVID existed. Okay? So how is it that we have a video clip I'm not going to play it today, but I'll be playing it where the top executive in a panel discussion just inadvertently let it out. Oh, yeah, we had 100,000 COVID vaccines ready. And I said, can we have a billion coming next year? Before anyone knew there was a COVID-19 or pandemic. How is that humanly possible? The dates don't make sense. How can you announce something that you have in ready, 100,000 vaccines, for an epidemic that no one acknowledged even existed? So now, and then now we have in writing, we have them saying, and the dates don't make sense. You can't be having vaccines in 2019 when it was after January and February 2020 that we became aware of it. It wasn't even identified by the World Health Organization, yet they had it identified. They were doing research. They had the vaccines ready. Well, you just don't have vaccines ready. How much time did it take to make those vaccines? Based upon what science were you doing it? And why about the biological threat reduction program in Ukraine? That biological threat reduction, that's biological weapons. That's gain-of-function research. So you start to see we're just the beginning of opening this door, and it's all coming out. But something else is coming out. And again, we'll be the first in the media to bring you this story in depth with the experts in the field and shortly. But the lawsuits are being prepared now. So what's coming? Well, sometimes there are those in our society that are able, through their own skills and background, to get the information before anyone else. One of those sources is redacted. Now, there are things I would agree with on redacted and disagree, but you've got two extremely experienced professional mainstream journalists who now are on their own, and they have a large following, about 1.5 million subscribers. And they just came up with something last night. I watched it, and I thought, now we know. Do any of you in the audience remember back on Christmas Eve in Obama's last year? He passed the Bail-In Reform Act, where if you have any money in a bank and the bank needs it, the bank's in trouble, it can confiscate your money legally, and you can't do a damn thing about it. It's very similar to the Cyprus. Remember several years ago, Cyprus was in trouble and the Russians came in and they took their money out of Cyprus. But all the other people, the school teachers, the public workers, they didn't get it out and therefore they couldn't. So they sued when the bank kept billions, tens of billions of their dollars. And the high court said, you have no case because it was the law. What would happen if this was currently happening in the United States? Well, it is. So the question is, we've got a big problem that the media is not touching. The media is completely hands off this, but you should be aware of it. What you decide to do is your business. I'll give you some suggestions. Now let's go to this clip. It's 15 minutes long, and we're going to play. If you want to see it for yourself, the whole clip starts at 40 minutes and goes to 55. Let's go to the clip now.
It's going to take 10 days. I'm like, 10 days? So I asked for it to be escalated, and they said they'll escalate it, but it'll take 10 days or so for somebody to respond.
Which is so interesting because this is one of the main arguments behind going to a Bitcoin type or a blockchain type currency, is that you wouldn't have to go through this ancient infrastructure, that money would be immediately available, although it's a much less efficient transaction. Blockchain transactions take a lot longer than, say, bank-related transactions, but at least there would not,
I thought it was the opposite.
No.
The interviews that I've done on blockchain with blockchain technologists say it's instantaneous. And whereas the wire transfers can take, you know,
for
hours.
Consumer purchases, cannot process consumer purchases in the same speed
like if you go to the store.
Yes.
And, those transactions.
Yes, but say, you know, bank to bank, person to person transfer would be much more efficient. So it's interesting that this is proving itself to us before our very eyes.
So, you know, are we looking at the emperor has no clothes here? Or are we, to put it another way, are we learning now that the banks have no money in their vaults and they're ready to take your money instead? Just yesterday, Bank of America issued this alert. Bank of America still forecasting 2023 recession. Fed action not enough. An odd alert, actually, saying that they're forecasting a massive recession for 2023. And they went further to say that the federal government is not doing enough to stop it. What the federal government is doing won't stop it. It's odd that they're putting this out. So just to put a pin in that for a moment, because Bank of America, we'll use that name because Bank of America making this statement. So just remember Bank of America for a moment. But first, really important to provide some context. And for that, we need to go back to the year 2013. Travel with me, if you will, back to the Mediterranean island of Cyprus. In 2013, following the collapse of the housing market in the United States, that calamity flowed to Europe in a domino effect for the small Mediterranean country of Cyprus. Remember this?
Outside the banks, the lines are long, customers worried.
You don't have cash now, can't do anything.
The banks haven't opened for 7 days, so Cyprus is becoming a cash society, and yet it's hard to get cash.
No accounts, no cards, no nothing.
And so what will they do?
God knows. Suicide.
Increasingly, this is happening.
What happened?
There's no money. I mean, you know, I couldn't get any money out, and then my card won't come out.
So not only is there no money, but then you take my card as well. It was particularly devastating. Tourism dried up. Unemployment skyrocketed. Commercial property prices plummeted 30% in value. And the Cypriot banks had a lot of exposure to local property, which was overvalued. When the economy collapsed, all these properties lost tons of value. The banks suddenly didn't have collateral to cover the money in these banks. I went to the bank to try to get money out of the bank. Sorry, unavailable, they said. No money. You can't come here. So if the bank had $1 billion of your money or of the people's money, it spent your money on other investments and on loans, loaning out money. So it didn't actually have any of your money in the bank. That was the real secret. That, of course, is the dirty secret of the banking sector, right? It's called fractional reserve banking. And it used to be that they only had to keep 10% of your money in the bank, and they could lend out the rest of it. So the law was 10%. You put in $100, the bank had to keep $10 in the bank. They could lend out the other 90 in a loan, a mortgage to somebody else, right? That's how it works. Then when COVID hit, they scrapped that. No more 10%. Now they could literally give 100% of your money away in form of loans, mortgages. So if you went down to your local bank, hey, is my money in this bank? No, it's not. It's gone. It's literally not here. And if you try to get a deposit or a withdrawal, good luck. They'll tell you to come back another day. That's how it works. So keep none of it in the bank because, you know, we're lending it fully out. The idea was ridiculous, right? Like, why during COVID was this in an effort to try to help the banks? Like, lend out 100% of your money, the average person's money, because we need the banks to be able to be saved, not you.
I'm not sure. So that's, well, I mean, it's not like they lowered any lending requirement to civilians or to, you know, customers. What were you going to say, Philip?
I was just going to say, because it was a perfect time when everybody was so distracted with other things that nobody's really going to be paying attention to the fact that the banks are now kind of changing their own rules and Congress is helping them along so right. that they can make more money.
And so, we sort of, and we accepted all changes as COVID related, like, oh yeah, world screwed up. I guess that's what needs to happen. You know,
right. Right. Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, not we, but yeah.
Or is this planned obsolescence because they're trying to say, hey, the banking system is screwed. Guess what? We have the solution, a digital federal currency. Let's move to that and you'll be safe.
Perhaps. Yeah. And we'll be able to track and monitor everything. So the money doesn't actually exist. It's not real currency. It doesn't actually exist anywhere. Just, you know, all it is ones and zeros on a Fed balance sheet somewhere. That's all it is. It's not actual currency. So these Cypriot banks in Cyprus suddenly needed help after this run of money. And the European Union said, sorry, we're not going to bail you out. You need to use another tool at your disposal known as a bail-in, meaning the billions of dollars that you have in your account from random depositors, you can feel free to use that money. You can take the life savings of regular people to cover your debts. When people went to the banks to get their money out, they were told it wasn't available to them. Why? Because the banks took it. Regular working people lost their life savings because it was confiscated by the banking system. The EU would only cover up to 100,000 euro. Just like in the United States, we have the FDIC, which covers a little over $200,000. But what happens if you actually have more money than that in savings? Sorry, that's all up for grabs. They can take it, as what, according to the law. And that's exactly what happened in Cyprus. They took all of that extra money. All of it. Billions. In fact, depositors in two different Cypriot banks lost billions when the savings were confiscated in order to protect the island's banking system. They took all of it. Again, this is known as a bail-in, not a bail-out. So what is a bail-in? A bail-in is different than a government bailout, where the federal government will swoop in with money to save a failing bank or business. A bail-in uses the money that's already deposited into the accounts to save itself from financial disaster and financial collapse. In other words, it's when the bank steals your money in order to cover its debts. And it's all perfectly legal, by the way. After the 2008-2009 financial collapse, the UK government, for instance, and the European Union, and the United States, under the Dodd-Frank Act, added the bail-in as a financial tool to help the banks save themselves. Here's a issue from the Bank of England, executing a bail-in, an operational guide from the Bank of England. How to do it. Here's a handbook. Here's my favorite headline. I love this headline. Why bail-ins will be the new bailouts.
Well, if you think about it, countries from Ireland to Hungary to Argentina have all done this. And according to Andrew Henderson's book, Nomad Capitalist, he says, with over $25 trillion in retirement in the U.S. alone, it's not that far-fetched to assume that your broke government will succumb to the temptation to dip into those retirement funds, especially as we see the national debt ratcheting up with, you know, elevated military budgets. 11 countries and counting have done so in the not-so-distant past.
I didn't even know it was that many.
So it's not without precedent. 11 countries have just said, we're broke. You're not. We're going to borrow from you.
It's crazy that they literally can just take your money. And this is the new normal now. So in Cyprus, all of these people who were ripped off by the banks went to court to try to get their money back. And here's what happened. The European court just threw it out. Sorry. Dismissing the compensation claim. Sorry. It's legal. They were allowed to take this money. Sorry. Under these laws, the banks can just take this money. Doesn't matter. Over the past 24 hours, there have been many reports of banks across Africa taking people's money. When they go to get answers, they're being shut down. No access to ATMs. This is Access Bank customers trying to use ATMs, but they can't. They watch as rich customers inside the bank are walking out with bags of money. But they are not allowed to access the ATMs outside. See the metal bars? I'll show you this. Watch. This is Nigeria.
This is Access Bank at Ifako. While a lot of customers are standing outside to have access to the ATM, the security guards locked the compound, the access to the ATM, took some people inside, collected their ATM cards, and have been giving them money in bulk. Here they are. Look at the people.
These are people they allow in.
Those are the people they allow. They allow these people in to give them bulk. They give them access to bulk cash. While their customers are out there, restricted from having access to the ATM. This is GT Bank at Ifako. Opposite Zenith Bank. Access Bank. Opposite Ifako.
Oh, jeez.
So, just trying to get access to some money. My own money in my own bank. In my own ATM, can't do it. But if you were plugged in and you had access, then you could go inside the bank and they hand you bulk pallets of cash to be able to take home. So that's happening at Access Bank. Here's Zenith Bank. This is also happening. Zenith Bank. Customers at Zenith Bank are reporting that money's being stolen from their accounts. And when they take to social media to report it, their tweets are being removed. So Zenith Bank, here's just one example. Zenith Bank is removing the tweets I made. Your bank is cramming people out of their hard-earned money, and you're blaming customers for missing money in your accounts.
Oh, I'm so glad Twitter's on that one. Thank you, Twitter.
Thanks. Yeah, I don't know who's like, you know, if enough like bots kind of get onto it and then they cancel out the accounts or something, or there's like an algorithm thing where people, you know, jump on it. So they get all these bank people to do it or whatever. Who knows? And in the United States, back to Bank of America, which just issued a big warning about a coming recession in 2023. A recession they're warning the federal government isn't doing enough to stop. Customers of Bank of America recently demanded answers when money went missing from their accounts. Customers started showing up in the lobbies of Bank of America branches demanding to know, hey, where's the money that's supposed to be in my account? It's not there. Or it's less than it should be. Like, what are you guys doing? Before they arrived, they were told to call customer service. So they got on the phone with customer service, and customer service didn't help them at all. So they came down to the bank branches and they're showing up. And there's people, there's like long lines of people waiting to get answers about what's going on with their money. So, and they don't want you to do this. Of course, the banks don't want you to come to them physically anymore. Banks have moved mostly digitally. In fact, if certain bank accounts that you have will actually penalize you for going to the teller. They want you just to use the digital banking services because they don't want to have an interaction with you. Here's just one example of people showing up demanding their money at Bank of America. Watch.
So I'm a Bank of America and everybody's missing money. I'm also missing money over $1,300 and they're telling me to call customer service. And they keep hanging up on people. This is another person here is also missing money. So we're trying to see what's going on. Money's missing today and we need our money. And they're already telling us to call customer service. And customer service ain't doing nothing about it. So just a heads up, if anybody's experiencing this, please let us know because this is not right. I'm missing $1,400 from my account and they're telling me that there's no way they can help us. This guy's missing money too. This other person is missing money too. And you missing money too? There you go. So this is not something that's just one person. This is everybody's happening to them. And this is crazy. This is very crazy. Yes, Bank of America decided to take people's money without their consent. And we're asking.
Okay. I'm very concerned about this. I'm moving on this myself today. I'll give you some broad spectrum advice. When banks decide to do something that is not in your best interest, they plan it well in advance. They run it through their various departments, including legal. They meet with their board of directors. They prepare themselves for the fallout. They then contact the regulatory agencies. They make sure that they have their lobbyists in Washington informing members of Congress so Congress people don't lose their money. And they're always able to do things on the inside where if we did any of that, we'd be called criminals. And then the public finds out about it. So here are a few suggestions if you deem this important. Keep the minimum amount of money in a bank that you need to pay bills. The minimum. Take your cash out. It's your money. You have a right to. Look at some smaller, long-time successful credit unions. Look at their ratings. Talk with them. Ask them about their debt ratio. Only put money in those that do not finance speculative projects that are savings and loan banks. That would be a place to put small amounts of money. If I had $100,000, I would put $10,000 in 10 different credible credit unions. But I would do my homework on the credit unions. Also, if you put it into real estate, that's protected. If you put it into a RV, that's protected. If I put it into a antique car that I can get, paying more than what I would normally pay, but at least I know I have an asset that is there for the future. So you better have your money outside of banks. Put it into gold where you actually have possession of the gold. Silver, we have possession of silver because it's not if, it's when the BRIC nations and probably upwards of 40 different allied countries receiving money on the new Silk Road project that China is sponsoring, where they're not going in there to build military bases. They're going in there and building hospitals. They're building ports. They're building large industrial centers that are giving people in that country employment, but they're also making friends. They're engaging in projects that benefit China as well, because China doesn't have for natural resources, very little, but it controls natural resources. It buys them, buys large amounts of land with minerals in South America, Central America, even buying farmland in the United States. So what it doesn't have, it's purchased. And what it's doing is a long-term plan with the BRICS nations, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, but now Argentina, Saudi Arabia, and countries all throughout the world are joining BRICS to have their own mixed currencies that they can trade in. Up to this point, everything was traded in dollars. Not now. That and the value of our dollar, which has lost about 98% of its value, but is still supreme compared to any other currency like the euro, for example, or the Canadian dollar, the French Swiss franc, the yen in China, Japan. That's going to collapse like a house of cards, and all the assets pegged to it will collapse with it. Equities collapse. Bonds collapse. It's just when, and probably will be within the next 2 years based upon the absolutely irresponsible, mad hatter spending this administration is doing. It thinks it can just spend money willy-nilly, almost all going to the military-industrial complex or to projects that do not benefit the American public or our environment or our future, but benefit those who are smart enough, rich enough to buy favor in Washington, D.C. So that's a bleak picture, but it's not bleak if you take what you have, assuming you have enough, and diversify gold, silver, real estate, preferably real estate that you want to make a homestead on. I would suggest putting money into freeze drying. That's the future. Absolutely, positively, we're running out of food. And to have food that will last for 30 years, it'll be fresh and nutritious. It takes work, but at least that's a smart place to put your money. So I've given you the problem and I've given you the solution. Okay? Now, before we have one more minute here to end this segment, I want you to play, it's only a minute long, Moderna CEO Stephanie Bancel admits the company produced 100,000 COVID-19 vaccine doses in 2019 before, I repeat, before the pandemic started. Let's play that clip, please.
And I'm going to go with Stephanie Bancel. Let's talk about vaccine development, because we've heard how it happened, obviously, with COVID-19 starting from 2022 and how extraordinary the process was also in terms of the speed. How is development, adoption and scaling of vaccine going on when it comes for different variants and subvariants? Because this is one of the big concerns as we're all here now and we're discussing. We understand the context and this is a great deal.
Sure. Good morning and thank you for having me on the panel. So the great news versus 2020, where we are today, is we have manufacturing capacity. As Seth knows, when the pandemic happened, Moderna had made 100,000 doses in 2019 for the whole year. And I remember walking after Davos into the office of my head of manufacturing, and I say, how we make 1 billion doses next year? And he look at me a bit funny, say, what? I say, yeah, we need to make 1 billion doses next year. There's going to be a pandemic.
You heard what he just said, head of the company. We made 100,000 COVID-19 vaccines in 2019. Really? Before anyone knew that there was a COVID problem. That's pretty good. That's scientific alchemy. And by the way, that's going to cause problems. More on that on an upcoming show. For WBAI, we're saying goodbye. But we're going to continue on PRN.live. Now, got a special for you today as a fundraiser for this station. And I decided to select something that was really important for everyone. Because what am I seeing a lot of? I'm seeing people with digestive issues. Understandable. Poor diet, wrong food combining, not chewing your food properly, too much liquid with the meal, being under stress or distracted when you're eating, you're not eating relaxed, you're not meditative in your food, eating the wrong foods. All of this and more causes digestive stuff to go on. So I'm offering today one of my most important products. It's called Digestive Stuff. Why would you be interested in it? How about in one serving you're getting bananas and apples, pineapple juice, papaya, bromelain, digestive enzymes like cellulase, amylase, protease, lipase, probiotics, 10 billion, bacillus subtilis. You're getting the organic ginger root, organic cinnamon bark, organic aloe vera leaf, organic marshmallow root, anise seed, fennel seed, slippery elm bark, and organic stevia. I know of no other product that gives you 13 grams of fiber. I repeat, 13 grams of fiber. That's perfect for one meal. 5 milligrams of iron? 120 milligrams of potassium? Yes. But most importantly, it's giving you something that really is functional. Every one of the ingredients I just mentioned were selected based upon my review of the peer-reviewed literature. Digestive stuff. Now, I'm not going to get that alone. I'm also adding in here, Tay, the most high powerful potency vitamin C made, 240 vegan capsules. And it's not just ascorbic acid, it's ascorbyl palmitate, calcium ascorbate, potassium ascorbate, magnesium ascorbate, selenium, sodium selenate, potassium ascorbate, plus cranberry, bilberry, bioflavonoids, acerola extract, beet fruit extract, amala berries extract. And if you took just a normal serving, plus it's got hesperidin in there as well, just normal serving, you're getting 2,241 milligrams. That's with three capsules. But if it's about 700 milligrams, more or less, per capsule. But you take all three, but you might want to take one or two or three. So that comes with this, plus a video you haven't seen, how to add healthy years onto your life. And this is a phenomenal documentary. And I outlined the steps taken to turn back the aging clock. All this package, what is it valued at? Its actual value, and this is what's important because you're getting a great deal on this, it's a value of $230. How much are you paying? $99. That's over a 60% or 60% savings off. So again, you're only paying $99.99 plus shipping and handling. You're not paying the $230. So who benefits? Everybody who digests food benefits. But for those of you who've had problems, consider what you can do to change how you eat and to get this into your system. How do you get this wonderful package that should be a complement to everyone's smoothie? Just throw a scoop in your smoothie. Call this number, 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065. Again, 877-627-5065. Or just go online. You can order it yourself. Or call Neil in the Vitamin Closet Monday to Saturday at 646-926-5430. 646-926-5430. Great special for everyone. We're out of time, everyone. Thank you very much. Have a nice day.